You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
And it's time again for Lee's Look at Local Real Estate with Lee W. Miller. Good morning.
Good morning, Barry.
You're always ready to go. What's your topic for this week?
Well, you know, with Halloween coming up, I figured we'd kind of get a little silly, and I would share some weird information about Halloween and haunted houses. So apparently a lot of people like to be scared, and so many people like to be scared that haunted house tours are about $500 million every year in ticket sales. And there are approximately 1,200 professional haunted houses. I guess there is no such thing as an amateur haunted house. And I did the math, and that's like $420,000 annual revenue for each one of those haunted houses. Yikes. And there's 300 horror events at theme parks and 3,000 charity-run spook shows across the U.S. every year. I had no idea that scaring people was such big business.
Now, you're talking about haunted house tours. You're not talking about the Tuesday Napa Realtors caravan, are you?
No, it's actually Thursday.
Thursday,
but yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But good knowledge that you even knew that actually took place.
Yeah, well. haunted houses, obviously the question that comes to mind in terms of real estate, I have to ponder, is there a disclosure requirement if you are selling a haunted house?
You know, and anticipating this conversation, I actually did a little bit of research, and surprisingly, there is not a requirement for sellers to disclose whether their home is haunted or not. The only thing that does exist is a seller must disclose if a person passed away in the home within the last 3 years.
Three
but that
years.
Could be, you
okay.
know, natural causes and
sure.
a peaceful death, not some horrific thing.
Yeah. That's interesting. I did not really know the answer to that. Usually I know the answer to a lot of questions I ask. That
right.
one I did not know. But you're saying if it's natural causes, they don't cause.
Any death that takes place in the home must be disclosed. And so as a realtor, we take great pains to word things properly. So-and-so died peacefully in the home of natural causes. On the other hand, there have been suicides and murders that have taken place in the home. Icos is one. Mm-hmm. And that must be disclosed, that it wasn't, you know, somebody dying of natural causes mm-hmm. peacefully.
Mm-hmm. You just reminded me of the horrific murders over in Coventry Manor that happened on Halloween, as I recall.
That was before my time.
10, 15 years ago now.
Yeah, no, I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, you should look that up.
That's okay.
Because you inevitably, when that house went on the market later, you're thinking, oh boy, you know?
Right.
As a buyer coming in, as usual, the market was hot and it sold, but knowing what had happened there.
Right.
Yeesh. And I guess there's a practical reason beyond ideas of haunting or anything or evil spirits. If somebody died in a home, is there something toxic in the home? Is there something unsafe in the home?
And generally, that's not the case. And coincidentally, prior to becoming a realtor, I was in that business. Do you call that a business? I sold software, case management software, to coroners and medical examiners. So I experienced quite a few tours of the coroner's office because they were quite proud. And they, my company told me, Lee, don't ever let them see that you're grossed out or uncomfortable at all, or they will just punish you and humiliate you and everything else. So
that sounds about right.
Right.
All right. So as far as haunted houses are concerned, as a buyer, then obviously you have the right to ask.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, and like I said, it is a law so that if a seller does not disclose that and the buyer post escrow closing finds out that, oh, there actually was a death in the home, you know, the seller's going to be subject to a lawsuit, and they don't want that. So, And here's a little interesting fun fact. Prior to the New World being discovered and Europeans coming over here, over there they carved turnips, believing that putting them outside would keep them safe on Halloween. And then when they came to America, they found that pumpkins were far more plentiful and easier to carve. Thus, the jack-o'-lantern was born. Who knew?
Halloween trivia. I've never carved a turnip, and I don't care if I ever do.
Right. I think it would be quite difficult.
Sounds like it.
So
yeah, I'll pass.
Do you know what the five most haunted cities in the U.S. are?
Five most haunted cities. Actually, no, I have no idea.
Well, okay. New Orleans is sense. On the list. Apparently, there's much of New Orleans that, famous cemeteries and churches throughout the city in the French Quarter and certain hotels are supposedly haunted. Savannah, Georgia, I wouldn't think.
I almost said Savannah.
Oh, did
Georgia.
You really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in Savannah, underneath many of its famous squares are numerous former burial grounds. Mm-hmm. Not a good planning commission decision there.
There was a really good book that was made into a less good movie, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, which was, I think, set in Savannah or New Orleans. I want to say Savannah. And it had a lot of creepy murder stuff going on.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, people like to be scared, so.
I think I thought of another one that must be on this list. Amityville.
You would think, but it's not.
No?
No. So the next one is Portland. Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
You know, known for its hipster vibe and the craft beer, but there's also lots of ghost sightings in the Shanghai tunnels, which were built in the late 1800s. And then this one surprised me. Washington, D.C., you've probably heard stories of the White House being haunted by past presidents and their families, from Lincoln to Abigail Adams. And then, obviously, here's the one that you're going to kick yourself. Salem, Massachusetts.
There you go.
The trials of the 1600s, those witches that were not witches that were found guilty and executed, I'm sure that they're still angry about that.
Yeah. I directed a production of The Crucible a few years ago at Lucky Penny, which deals with all of that, right?
Right.
And did some reading and research and got further and further into it. And wow. I mean, talk about mass delusion and hysteria and people just getting all caught up. And
right.
Of course, it was a time when there really was no science. There was, nothing but religion and belief. And so it's easy to get carried away.
Right. Right.
Interesting list. Have you ever lived in what you thought was a haunted house? Ever had any of those experiences?
I have not lived in a haunted house. I wouldn't call it haunted. We rented for about a year, and both my wife and I at different times and one of my daughters saw a little old lady sitting in a rocking chair knitting or something of that nature. And it wasn't like a scary thing. It was just, oh, that's kind of interesting. And it was visible and then it was gone. And, c'est la vie.
So they saw the same thing?
Same thing. We described to each other that we saw the same thing. So, and now I'm not going to reveal the address, but when we first moved here and we were still renting, we're checking out neighborhoods. In the downtown area, there was a for sale sign in front of an old Victorian, and that narrows it down, doesn't it? We were on our bikes, and I stopped, and then about 10 seconds later, my wife pulls up, and she got a vibe. She goes, oh, no, this one's haunted. It was out of our price range anyway, but she felt it just from the street.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
I lived for a summer. This was college age in a big ramshackle old house. This is back in Missouri. And it always had that sort of creepy feeling, right? But a lot of big old ramshackle houses have a creepy feeling. So it was kind of discounted. But after a few weeks living there, somebody We watched a scary movie or I don't know.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
Right? And maybe somebody referenced, yeah, this house is creepy, isn't it? And somebody said, well, you know that there, a kid died upstairs and a guy killed himself in the basement. You know that, right? It's like, no, I did not know that.
Wow.
So,
unrelated incidences, probably decades apart.
Right. But, yeah. And, you know, an old house has been around for 100 years. Life has been lived in there.
Right.
Births and deaths, and shouldn't be too surprised. But so there's very little science involved in this, Lee. It sounds
right. Like no, that's why I said this is just entertainment. I don't really have a position on what I believe or not, because that little old lady sitting in the rocking chair knitting was the only experience that I've had other than the Napa ghost tour, which I found very underwhelming.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very good. So let's talk about the real estate market locally for a minute, back to real life and real things. How are things looking? We had a little bit tick up in the interest rates.
And with the holidays, that's always a little bit of a slowdown for those who are putting their homes on the market and those who are continuing their search. But here's some good news. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac loan limits have been increased to $625,000 from $548,250. So that additional $77,000 means that buyers of homes used to have the limit of $548,250. And so there are so few properties that are below 548 that an FHA loan really just didn't even come into play here. But now up to 625, that's great news. And they've even decreased the FICO score down to 580 for those FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So that's good news for those in that segment of the market, which frankly is about the most popular segment of the market. Hmm.
Very good. And the pace of sales, time on the market, how's that going?
I looked at those stats and I had intended to bring you some fascinating news and it's down 1%. So it's like, I don't need to bring in any stats. I can just report down 1% from a month ago, down 1% from the month before that. So it's pretty flat, really.
Mm-hmm. And that's length of time on the market?
Time on market, actually also the number of properties sold each month is just, things are pretty much just flat.
Mm-hmm. The question that has to come in connection to that is inventory. Is there much available right now?
Now, like I said, there's less than normal. But I think there's more inventory. How do I say this? In relation to the people who are looking, there are still more people looking than there is inventory. So that might, tip the scales in the favor of the sellers yet for a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. This is completely out of left field, and I don't know if you were prepared to talk about it, but thoughts on this proposal for the county, not in the cities, but the county, of limiting the size of a home on a parcel that's in the ag preserve. Did you follow that news?
I have not kept up on that lately. So yeah,
it's an interesting dilemma that I hadn't really thought about until I saw the Board of Supervisors discussing it. The restrictions on the ag preserve properties remain the same as far as what you can build, which is one house per 40 acres. But the idea here was that that one house, in some cases, could be so gargantuan that it's exceeding what was intended. By that limit. And they were talking about restricting everything that's built to approximately the size of a football field. So that would be home, garage, outbuildings, swimming pools, and things like that.
The accumulated space, yep. Not in between those
correct.
Multiple buildings.
I think okay. so. Yeah, the developed areas. I think that's the way it was intended. And it's still in discussion, but
that's still a lot.
Still a lot, isn't it?
I can't imagine people saying, that's not fair. I want bigger.
Mm-hmm. But I think if you look around the ridgetops, you'll see a few people.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Wow.
The look at me house. Right?
Yes. Mm. I call that F you money.
People who are fed up?
Is yes, they're fed up with living in a 2,000 square foot home.
Got it. All right. Lee W. Miller with Lee's Look at Local Real Estate. And show coming up in a few minutes?
Show coming up, yeah. I'm going to do a solo show today.
All right.
No guests. Just I'm going to pretend to be like Barry. Ooh. And sit in here and communicate marvelous, interesting information to to those who might care to listen.
Very good. Well, it's a desired thing, an honored profession.
Yes.
Okay, sure. All right, Lee, thanks for being in this morning.
Thank you, Barry.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.